And let us hear God's word. And Luke records for us. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night, haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." So when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter heard this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. And this is the word of the Lord, to whom we give our thanks. Amen. Across our one big world, there is a geographical landmass about 9,000 kilometres from where we're sitting this evening. Unlike ours, it is a peninsula, not an island. But like ours, it is divided by an international border. Furthermore, and similarly, the two parts are more or less denoted by their geographical location, north and south. The border that divides the landmass 9,000 kilometres or so from where we're sitting here this evening is very different from the one I was able to cross earlier on today. I did so freely as I travelled south to north. I didn't have to worry one iota about the purpose of my visit, talking around Christianity and mission and so on. However, 9,000 kilometres away, it is very dangerous, almost impossible to travel from south to north with such a purpose. Yet some do. Yes, missionaries from other nations, but so also those indigenous Koreans. Desiring for the gospel's sake to see the church grow in the north and to help her perform her mission even under the most unfavorable and disadvantageous conditions. In other words, really dangerous, really hard. You know that anyway. Some travel from south to north from a richly resourced area in terms of Christian faith and experience, never mind anything else, to a pretty impoverished Christian scene in the north. And on the whole, those who travel from south to north do so at the risk of their own lives. Well, I haven't traveled 9,000 kilometres, only 225 kilometres between two points on our one big island. And I'm really glad to be here in Highkirk this evening. Thank you so much for the kind invitation, Keith, to be here, and for Norman to be able to stand in your pulpit to speak on this evening of your one big mission weekend and to say something about my own local situation in the Republic of Ireland. Not Korea, though I'll draw what I've just said together at the end. So keep that in the back of your mind. So we've all laughed at the first slide. Right. I read a minute ago, yes, from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. And you know this, and you've heard it preached on probably many times, but the one sentence that stands out for me is in the sentence there marked with verse number 4. Jesus said, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Okay, so the guys have been fishing, nothing comes up. And so Jesus says, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." In other words, you know, go a little bit farther than what you're comfortable with, that what you think you know what you're doing, and all the rest, what you're trained for, and a carpenter is telling this. But Peter says, look, Lord, because you say so, we're going to do this, and then you know how it all unfolds. Of course, because the text tells us, we've got to read in the bigger dynamic, the bigger picture of just not catching fish, but ultimately catching people. So we know that too. But think of how that sentence I've just highlighted stands out in the same way. Put out into deep water, and let down the nets for the catch. In other words, go out a little bit further than what you're used to. Go out a little bit further than what you're comfortable with or what you've been trained in doing of that, you know, and reaching out. And let down your nets for a catch. And keep that little idea bubbling away just in the back of your mind too. Highlighting too what Jesus said. We do it because he says, because you say so, Lord. And then just this wonderful picture how, yeah, they get this great catch, and then how the partners from the other boats come in. So I'm very conscious just of being invited to be here. And in terms of being minister of two congregations in our denominational family, the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, and knowing the strength of that, of being part of something bigger, and therefore being able to, you, in terms of High Kirk Presbyterian Church, being partners in our General Assembly, PCI stuff, you know. And certainly when I talk about the new building in Mullingar, essentially you guys and others have built it through, amongst other things, United Appeal, and if involved in the PWA Home Mission Project, Sunday School Project. So in one sense, I want to say thank you for many ways, not least financially, that the wider denomination of which you're a part have contributed to what you're going to see this evening. So just this idea of partnering, and I come very much with that in the back of my mind as I speak this evening and share something of my own situation, I'm happy to do so. And just that in mind, that I come to you knowing that in some sense we're partners in all of this together. I have been minister of two Presbyterian congregations in the Republic of Ireland for the last 14 or so years. I'm going into my 15th year. You might go, Flippy, he's far too young to be there 15 years. I did start when I was 9, so don't worry about that. Yeah, went there in 2002. My wife, you can see there, Leslie Ann, she teaches in Wilson's Hospital School. She's a religion teacher there. If you get the Presbyterian Herald on the back page, sometimes you will see Wilson's Hospital School advertised. King's Hospital School is closer to Dublin. Wilson's Hospital School is about 15 minutes away from our home in a place called Multifarnham. Very old school. It's a boarding school, co-ed also, as well as day pupils. And the Board of Management is Church of Ireland Board of Management. So that's just the setting. Maybe you're familiar with some with that end of things. But she's a teacher there and has been more or less since we went. Our two boys, Finn is age 9. He's an equivalent of P5. And Eric is in junior infants, or P1. So that's us. I'm going to show you some pictures this evening on the screens. I can look at the monitor there. And I hope they give you some flavour of mission, in most particular in Mullingar. In the new building, yeah. So like so many churches, you know, with PowerPoint, well, the monitor's okay. And sometimes there'll be school visits to our school from mostly national schools, though I've had some secondary level education come. So the kids, probably that's their first ever time in a Presbyterian building. They're used maybe being in another church building. So so they ask all sorts of questions, you know, deep theological questions like, why is there carpet on your floor? And do you bury people? Only if they're dead. And why do you have these monitors? So they look at them, and I said, well, look, in the Presbyterian Church during the sermon, if people get bored, they can watch TV. And then, oh, so it's a great evangelistic tool. No, don't really. Yeah, just one thing that we engage. So look, the photographs there, hopefully they will provide a picture of all that we get up to. I don't need to emphasize this, and if the way I express things seems to leave what I'm going to say to the background, you're a mature enough congregation, I'm sure, to know that at the end of the day, this is God's work, and that all this at the end of the day must be for his praise and glory. I know this from, not I know this, but I should, look, it is. and it's been driven home to me in two particular ways personally. I'm the minister of two Presbyterian churches, which I'll say something about in a minute, both very, very different. And at the end of the day, the Lord works at two very different speeds in these two congregations. Yet I'm the same person. I don't change when I cross the county border. So I am the same person in Kerboy, the same person in Mullingar, and yet the Lord works very differently each time. And I know, therefore, that he's the one working in all of this. The other thing driven home to me, emphasizing again that it's the Lord's work, about 2012, I was hospitalized and under lock and key psychiatric care, out of work for almost, well, a year, I suppose, but in psychiatric care for three months or so. And whether we break our head or we break our arm or we break our leg, we know humanity is very, very frail. And so it's a reminder, even in that way, that ultimately this is all God's work. At the end of the day. So I hope you remember that, as I seek to do, and to God be all the praise and all the glory. Here are the pictures of the two church buildings in terms of Mullingar and Kerboy. Kerboy is in County Longford. Mullingar is in County Westmeath. I'm the only Presbyterian minister in County Westmeath, and I'm the only Presbyterian minister in County Longford. In County Westmeath, there used to be six Presbyterian congregations. Mullingar is the only one left. In County Longford, there used to be three. Kerboy is the remaining one. Kerboy congregation is very old. The building has been there since the 1700s. The congregation since the late... Well, obviously, the people who are there are dead. But I mean, you're mature and... Okay, but it's a very old congregation. Yes, I walk past the ancestors up the drive in the grave. But it's that kind of... rural kind of feel to it, families, generations, and there and all the rest. And there's a certain dynamic with that. Kerboy is basically situated, the building at least, is situated between two fields. It's about 5 miles or so from Longford Town and from a smaller village, Edgeworthstown. So it's a lot physically going against it in terms of way we've been able to milk maybe on Mullingar. Mullingar, yeah, county town of Westmeath, maybe 20,000 plus people who live in Mullingar, grown since the 1990s, the Celtic Tiger and all that, people moving out of Dublin, settling in Mullingar, travelling into work and so on. So the town has grown from about 7,000 in the 1990s to about 20 plus thousand nowadays, okay? And as I say, I'm in my 15th year ministering in these two congregations. Over the last 15 years, Mullingar Church building, we basically outgrew that building. It's a small building, so it didn't really take much to outgrow it, but outgrow it we did. This was the kind of space that we had. There are no pews there. In the vacancy before I went, late 1990s, the pews went. I know nothing. neither do they. There was a hole in the... There was a hole in the roof. They decided that they were going to fix the hole after many years. Then they decided, hey, we could paint this place. Hey, we should take the pews out. And they never went back in again. But they bought 30 chairs. And there wasn't 30 of them. There wasn't hardly any of them, you know. But who's going to sit in these? And that's always been a dynamic, you know. We'll do this. And they bought 30 chairs. And over time, we had to extend it. We bought... or people were kind to buy, help us buy them. So as you can see, it's a very small space. It could seat 80 of the squeeze. Things started to get, started to think of major questions when numbers did increase on a Sunday over the years, and therefore sought the advice and the permission and all the rest of the wider denomination to go forward with a new build. There's the building space that we had, the main meeting room, as I say. And to be honest, if there were pews in that, we couldn't have done anything that we've done over the last number of years. We couldn't have transformed that building into the sands of Egypt during our summer camp. It couldn't have been used a third of it for a buggy park for the mums and toddlers, mostly mums, that group. Anyway, there was a small minister's room, a toilet... which froze. at winter time. Running cold water siphoned off the old manse. No hot water. Ports there. Yeah, the kitchen. The picture is crowded, but it really was small. Swinging a cat. We had to replace the fridge so many times because the whole place got cold in the fridge and killed it. The floor. I'm half responsible for the place falling down because one of the things we did, okay, Mullingar Church, it was in and out of unions over the years. There was a union of three. I'm the first Presbyterian minister to have lived there since the 1960s because the union was Kells, Kerboy and Mullingar. It was a 110-mile trip for the minister on a Sunday. And, well, that was rejigged during the vacancy before I came. So it's only Mullingar and Kerboy now. But because of church times and the minister not living there, people thought Mullingar Church was closed, even though it was in the centre of town outside a main shopping centre. And so one of the things we did back in 2002 and so on was just raise the profile of the church, just open the doors, put a sign up outside. You've walked past this building many times and you've never called in. Why not call in? And all this sort of stuff. And I suppose of an older generation, so there have been people living in Mullingar who'd never been inside because of just the whole maybe religious outlook and dynamic. If it wasn't your church building, something else, you couldn't really go in there. So we just started to open that up. Christmas time, for example, we really upped the ante in terms of opening for coffee and mince pie 9 to 5 every day, inviting them to the carol service, and things grew from that. But anyway, back to the kitchen. So, So the Birka boiler, okay? So to get the tea in the go for all these people who were calling in, so I would boil up this Birka and then I'd forget about it. And then I would go into the kitchen and you were confronted with turkey's baths, you know? So it kind of had an effect on the floor. So we had to replace the floor. I cost the wider church a wee bit more than just a new building. That was our situation. We sought to seek beyond our walls, and I suppose in seeking to go beyond our walls, it put pressure on our walls. And one of the things that put pressure on our walls over the years was the summer camp, or holiday Bible club, but we don't use that term so much as summer camp. Lots of summer camps happen, not that they come and camp, but, you know, it's just music summer camp or gymnastic. Anyway, the summer camp in the Presbyterian Church. And we were able to gain space. You can see there probably an Irish Army, one of their tents. This is one of the things in terms of go out a little bit further than what you're used to and all the rest. Personally, in terms of being a minister there, I had to get my head around things which I had no training for or never thought about. But also to the congregation. When I went there might have been 10 to 15 people and none of them had ever heard of something that most of us are familiar with. And certainly I'd grown up as a kid through church life, was your holiday Bible club, you know? So kind of explaining to this, so we said, look, let us try one. So we just did a Saturday morning, and the storykeeper's theme, and there were about 25 kids who came along. The next year, 2004, we did 3 days, just building things up, and there were a few more kids. And then we went to a Monday to Sunday, morning and afternoon, Monday to Friday. Saturday morning was a sports event at the local GAA ground, and then a barbecue, and all the adults came, the parents. And then on Sunday too, it was Sunday morning only, and it was a big send-off, you know. So we integrated the Sunday morning in with it. They didn't know they were coming to Sunday morning service, but essentially they were. If they come back the next week, we weren't doing memory verses and stuff and singing and all the rest. But anyway, but the thing that really, yes, we grew those numbers. There were maybe about 250 kids who linked in with us at least once through the summer, at least once a week. So generally every day, about 160 or so over the two programs. But the thing that really tugs my heart all the time was, number one, there are families, adults, who were prepared to let the Presbyterian Church in Mullingar look after their kids. In the light of all the religious stuff going on and staying away from religion and such, they allowed us to look after their kids, number one, teach them Christian stuff, number two. And then on a Sunday, there were families who were willing then to come to on a Sunday morning to a church building in which was not their own background and tradition. So Yeah, it was something significant in so many lives. And through something like summer camp, and folk had come to church, not quite there yet in terms of faith, and some also have come to faith. And even I can think of some folk through opening the church through the week who also, that's been their experience. Another oodles and doodles is, I wanted to call it piddles and scribbles, but I wasn't allowed to. But it is, mums, it is a parents and preschoolers group. Parents and preschoolers group, and it's mostly mum, though some dads come, grannies and grandas, or grannies, childminders. In terms of the use of the old building, let's call that building the old building, from about 2007 to 2014, we met for public worship in two different schools, Christian Brothers, and then the Educate Together National School. But while we still had the church building, we did things through the week, like oodles and doodles. Until then, in 2012, that building was sold. It's now a restaurant. And we met for oodles and doodles in the Roman Catholic Parish Community Centre. And that too grew over the years. I'll say a little bit more about it in terms of the new build, but we maybe had about 20 adults at it, and therefore 20 plus kids. And David from Poland, we've quite a number of folk in our quite a significant Polish community in Mullingar, and some of them have found their way along to something like Oodles and Doodles in the summer camp and church too, actually. So it's another thing that's going on. So Oodles and Doodles, yeah, feeding time. You're aware of these things that go on, but these things, it's actually the only one in town. And this is a photograph that was taken about 2008. I put it up there because now that's kids, obviously. But in 2002, I baptized the first baby. It was the first baptism of anybody, but the first baptism of an infant in 18 years. So that kind of sets it in the context, even after a number of years, of why this was putting pressure on our walls and so on. In terms of building-wise, we tried to extend the building and do so on. In terms of ministry-wise and people, that we could keep the building and two services, it just wasn't feasible, even in terms of the relationship with Kerboy and the wider church was not willing to take that one on. So a picture of the new building. Yeah, it's round. Welcome to Mullingar Presbyterian Church. You're all familiar with the building, but I mean, yes, so that was taken from the Educate Together National School, looking across to the new build. So the church setting is across the road from Mullingar Educate Together National School. It's a school of about 400 or so pupils. Our guys, Finn and Eric, go there. Most schools will fall under the patronage of religious churches, Church of Ireland, small but significant, Roman Catholic, of course, the largest. There are the Educate Together National Schools, and the Board of Management is not religious Board of Management. So there's one across the road near our home, and that's where our guys go to. So schools across the road from the church. And then there's the Harriers running track, and it's on the go all the time. There's a football pitch across the road. And then there's a couple of thousand homes round about us in three or four large housing schemes. So that's our setting. And the seat about 160, the room. And you walk into a welcome area. To the left, there is a hall, which I'll show you in a minute. And then to the right is where we meet as church. There's other one or two, maybe three or four other smaller rooms and toilets and so on. It meets our needs. It's fit for purpose and it's multi-purpose. So that room was the size of the old Castle Street building. Then we've Sunday school room and so on. Summer camp. Let me just pick up the summer camp. Yeah, pictures of the summer camp. You're used to these things, but I say just in the context of which I'm trying to explain, it has a certain dynamic to it. Over the last number of years, we've been helped by the Presbyterian Church in Ireland and their summer teams through whatever the youth board is called now. You don't have to be a young person to go on it. So if there's anybody here who would like to come to Mullingar for a week or so and get involved in all these wonderful things that I'm showing on the picture. Yeah, every year I get to dress up. Last year I was a polar bear I've been a secret agent. I've been an Egyptian prince. Yeah. But somehow polar bears, because polar bears are in the Bible. So it was polar explorers. It was a good thing, but as I say, Arctic doesn't really feature in the Bible so much, but we got there with it, and it was really good. So if anybody would like to come along to be part of this PCI summer team, I'm sure somebody can get the hold of an application form for you. We generally have around 15 to 20 leaders, and really good. So can I encourage you, if you want to ask me more about that, please do. I'd love to, if you can come to Mullingar in the summer, I think around about the 10th to the 17th or 19th of July. And then through the once a month, we keep up contact. Only 20 kids or so come through our rock club Wednesday evening, and just an hour packed full of wonderful Holy Bible Club's stuff. Feeding time for Oodles and Doodles. Oodles and Doodles really growing. Maybe we might get 40 adults now at it, and therefore 40 plus kids at it. So that's on a Wednesday morning. Some of the guys who come along. And this year we noticed, in terms of a crossover between kids who'd come from Oodles and Doodles, families who come to that, now the kids, their sibling, they were growing up through Oodles and Doodles and now coming to the summer camp, and there was quite a bit of crossover. And it just says something about just building up relationships, doesn't it? All about building up relationships with people and folk trusting you and speaking into their lives and so on. We had a Christmas dinner, a solid group. There's about 20 kids who come twice a month to the teenage group. And again, you've got to see this in the context of the handful of folk who were at the beginning. Some of those kids, most of those kids actually come to church, which is really good. Some don't, they. Some are maybe one or two with other churches. Some are it's not a part of their lives at the minute, and we pray on for that. Two school times, pick-up times, 20 past one, 20 past two, junior classes, senior classes. And on a Wednesday afternoon, we have what's called in-betweeners. And so for any parents who might be hanging around within the two pick-up times, they can come across and start get a coffee and homework. Not very many going to that, only three of us. But who knows, it'll grow. We're able to use the building in a church weekend at home. Look, I don't know, just I'm giving you a flavour of church life together. Carol service, usually bunged. Folk from the community come in and we're able to use the building in the ways that we... My goodness, when we had the carol service in Castle Street, kids couldn't run around because they just, you know, everyone had to stand like this with their coffee. Happy Christmas. It's good evening. So it's just great to have the space, you know. Things we can't take for granted, but it's just so new. And yeah, we are family. It's one of the emphases. Just one thing I want to say just about actually Oodles and Doodles. One thing we've started doing, and because we have the facilities and a fridge and a freezer that doesn't die now, is that we've been able to, as church now, to make meals. And so if any of the folks in Oodles and Doodles have a baby, just we're able then to drop down a meal, maybe frozen so on, down to the family and help and so on. So I've written that down. Wanted to say that. Yep. Right. Coming to an end. Just church's family. For most of the folk in Mullingar, certainly Presbyterian Church never played much part in their lives. It's and so on. So their relationship with Christianity and the Christian Church certainly wouldn't be what we'd be used to. A lot of the younger generation, maybe with young families, their connection with their expression of church would really be at key times in their child's life. Maybe at baptism, maybe at First Communion, at confirmation. And there wouldn't be, for the majority of folk, maybe much connection with that. And so Christianity is very much in terms of a cultural thing at the minute. And it's true for many places, but that's just, I'm explaining the situation. So, in terms of the life of the church, try and just encourage church and the things that we do. I'm sure it's true of other churches, not least here too. You know, just church's family. Just church's family. So that whenever folk come into contact with us, they come into contact with two things. Good news, life. Good news, life. Because their connection in terms of their local church is just not the dynamic that we take for granted. There's a distance. It's just not in terms of the fellowship, which I'm finding it hard to express this, but it's conveyed to me that when there's something about your community, you know, we're just doing things that we're used to, you know. So I've just discovered, yeah, they come into contact, Good News Life. Okay, so to come along to the barbecue, to come along to our church weekend as guests and outsiders, oodles and doodles and all the rest, they pick up a dynamic of Good News Life. And then, for me, because I'm quirky in a lot of ways, but the big thing for me is invitation to church. Yes, we've secondary things going on, but the number one invitation is always the Sunday. Because therefore they meet the church as family, older, young, boys, girls, male, female, rather than just the initial group, which have their place, you know, but come to church. So therefore they not only come into contact with Good News Life, which seems to be speaking into them, but also a Good News liturgy. We all have a liturgy to follow every Sunday that we come together for public worship. But the liturgy and the expression of public worship and conveying the Lord Jesus is in the context which we are used, it is something so very different than what is the experience. And if anybody want to pick up more on that, I can do that, but take my word for it. It's just very, very different. And in both the ways, in conveying to me and to others in the life of the church, it just has something picking up. So the local church family, so it's not just so much, yes, you're a believer in your place of work and you do evangelism, you share the good news. No, there's more to do with, hey, church as family and our life together, not least on a Sunday, that conveys, I don't want to say even more, but as important as you in your small corner and me in mine. Do you know what I'm saying? So, mission statement, open to God, open to each other, open to everyone. And we have this little kind of symbol there, which I stole from somewhere probably. But it seeks to convey that, a church open to God, through the cross, open to each other and the different pictures there of people and colours and all the rest, and then open to everyone that people can see in, and there's transparency, and we seek to convey. I've always stuck that little symbol on our literature, and people get to know it and so on. Right, let me finish up. Well, as a wrap-up, I want to pitch a particular perspective to you, just as we conclude, and I am finishing. This particular pitch, perspective and pitch, I'm going to pitch to you, has the potential to offend. And it carries with it flaws, I'm absolutely sure. But rather than dismiss it or me out of hand, I would ask that you would at least for a second set aside any offence and any weaknesses, which I'm willing to acknowledge, and mull over the possibility that what I'm about to pitch to you at its core might carry with it some worthwhile mileage. I began, didn't I, with the Korean Peninsula, divided as it is by one of the most dangerous international borders in the world. And where I'm simply going with this pitch is this. Indigenous Koreans living in the south, desiring for the gospel's sake to see the church grow in the north, will travel north to help her perform her mission, even under the most unfavourable and disadvantageous conditions. So, from south to north, from a richly resourced area in terms of Christian faith and experience, to a pretty impoverished Christian scene. And they do so at the risk of their own lives. Don't forget that. That's the main thing, I think. So, what might the Lord be saying to his church in Northern Ireland about their fellow islanders who live anything between 1.5 to 7 hours away over that international border on this one big island? There is such a large concentration of Christian believers on this one small part of our one big island. And I often wonder why the Lord has been mustering such a significant and numerous portion of his worldwide Christian family in this one small part of our one big island. I often wonder why that large group of people do not in any significant way on the same landmass spill over that international border, which compared to that border 9,000 kilometres away, is hardly treacherous at all. And even in terms of our own recent troubled history, does not carry with it the danger it once did. And please, again, I ask you please to at least give some leeway to me in terms of getting to the core of what I'm saying. And so when I step back and look in at what is my own background and my own growing up in this one small part, I kind of, when I hear about spilling over, it's spilling over in a lot of ways to other parts of the world, but not 225 kilometres away or 1.5 hours away. Anything sometimes I seem to pick up by way of spilling over, it's just in terms of local churches in one small area. And so they'll spill over from one local church to another local church or start their own local church 5 minutes away and then seek to convince whoever that it's radical or whatever word you want to put to it because their previous church wasn't radical. Now listen, I'll tell you what's radical. If you really want to leave your church, sell your home, seek a new employment opportunity, and move yourself, and if you've a family, and come help grow the church in the southern part of this one big island. So leaving one local church to go to another or start your own 5 minutes away is not radical. Not at all, you know. I know what happens, and I know the spilling over. But why does the spilling over only happen in a small area, 5 minutes, and it's called radical? No, radical is this. Sell your home, move you and your family, get a job, and move to the southern part of this one big island. Don't kid yourself that anything else is radical. In terms of PCI congregations in the Republic, we generally don't have full-time paid employment mission worker jobs. But we do have congregations. We do. So this is not a pitch. I have no job for you. I have nothing for you. And most of my PCI colleagues have no job for you, you know. But we have congregations. We have local churches. So my pitch is basically this. Would you consider coming to live in Mullingar? Now, Norman, I'm not looking to decimate your congregation. No way, you know. That's not what I'm saying. I know that. But please see it in the spirit of which I'm speaking and the big picture kind of stuff here, you know. And as I say, I have no job for you. But there are jobs in my town, and there are schools in my town, and there are sports clubs in my town. So maybe you might be in a work at the minute, maybe your employment circumstances have changed, or maybe it's time you think, I need a job somewhere else, and you're willing to even move. And you think, well, there's a job in Dublin, or there's a job in Mullingar, I can be a teacher there, or a vet there, or, you know, that sort of way I want you to think about. Or as a student, I'll consider going to a university in Galway or in Dublin. And your first priority is really, is there a church there? And I can go there and live there and help grow the church in Ireland. So many of our congregations in the Republic will be transformed even by one or two committed Christian families. Now, we don't have churches that are packed full of programs that tick the various boxes of age and of sex and of interest group. But there are plenty such groups in town to get stuck into and be a witness there and feed into all that I've sought to share. So will you please take what I've said, compare what I've said about Korea and Ireland. I'm not seeking to offend. I'm trying to stay away from whatever controversies and churches and moving and spilling over. I'm not seeking to decimate any local Presbyterian church, but I'm trying to get you to think in terms of mission. That there is an international country not too far away. You don't have to get injections to move. You can still watch BBC and UTV. If there's a family emergency, you know, you're not ultimately that far from your family. In the most crisis situations, if a family member drops dead 5 minutes from your home, they drop dead, you know. Do you know what I mean? We feel I can't move because of my family. You know, if there's an emergency of stuff, you know, you might only be 2 hours, 3 hours away. Please think about some of these things. And so put out in the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. How might that maybe feed into maybe your heart and soul at the minute of thinking about moving somewhere? Yeah, even to come and live among you, basically. Anyway, no. Can I pray? Is that okay? Lord, if it were not for mission, none of us would be sitting here. None of us would be here. If it were not for mission, your mission to the world in Jesus Christ, your Son, who left all the riches of heaven and became poor for our sakes, that we who are very poor might become rich. So if it wasn't for that mission, none of us would be here. And if it wasn't for the mission of someone telling us about you, whether that is in the life of our church, growing up and coming to faith, or whether church is not part of our background and we come into the life of your family through trusting you, Lord Jesus, whatever way we are at, and to faith, none of us would be here without mission in some sense. So help us just as we think about this weekend, as we thought about various aspects of mission and all the rest, that you'd press upon us, whether we stay where we are, as we be part of a church family here and get stuck in and get stuck in our places of work and school and just be there for you, Lord Jesus, to share, or whether you're calling us further afield and it might not be too far away yet, enough out of where we live. Lord, we pray that you would just encourage each other by the mission that you are doing in your world, and help us to just get on the back of that in a trusting and seeking to glorify you kind of way. And hear this prayer, because we bring it in Jesus' strong name. Amen.